The Bible says that if you're truly got oil in your lamp, if you've truly been saved, your lifestyle will change. Sinful practices and habits will begin to disappear, some immediately and some over time, but there is always discernible change. The direction of your life will turn.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Ready in Your Walk. This is chapter 2 on the series called, Ever Ready. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
When Jesus had given to his disciples many signs to look for preceding his return to earth in his second coming, he ended with teaching three parables, all having to do with some aspect of being ready for his appearance. Last time we talked about the parable of the faithful and evil servant, and this time we're going to look at the second parable most of you will immediately recognize, the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable is about being ready in your walk. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, Ready in Your Walk, from our series, Ever Ready.
The true core message of Christianity, and let me read it to you. By His grace, you are saved, period. By grace, you are saved from the punishment of sin through faith. It is not by anything that you have done. It is not by anything that you have done. Can I read that again? It is not by anything you have done. There's not anything we can do that brings us into favor with God. You go to feed that hungry person, God says, well, that's it. That's the good deed that gets them in. He says, it is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. It is not given to you because you worked for it. Let me read that again. It is not given to you because you worked for it. It is a gift. And the minute you think you can earn a gift, it's no longer a gift. It's something you bought. But you can't buy salvation because the blood paid the price. These five foolish virgins, having no oil for their lamps, representing the Holy Spirit, proves they have not been saved. To me, that is so clear in this parable. They have not been saved. Paul wrote in Romans 8, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if the oil is in your lamp, meaning the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God, because the Bible says no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. That is the evidence of a genuine child of God. Not how good you look, not how good you act, not how good you talk, not how good you walk, but do you have the oil in your vessel, the Holy Ghost living inside of you? The end of the parable confirms their lack of salvation. To me, it just settles the issue because Jesus said to them, I don't know you. Couldn't be more clear. I don't know you. I've never known you. I don't know you. They were saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. But he said, I don't know you. So that's why they had no oil, because they didn't know him. Because the minute you look up and you say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me and rose from the dead, and I give my heart to you and I ask you to forgive me my sins and come into my heart, he immediately comes to reside inside of you by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you undergo a radical change. And that is when the oil comes to dwell within the lamp of your life. So to me, this parable is about a cautionary tale regarding being sure you have the real thing before Jesus returns. Jesus wants us to take note of these five foolish virgins and go, okay, I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in the five wise virgins group. Remember that old Wendy's commercial? Little old lady is disappointedly looking at a little bitty hamburger patty on a bun. And she looks up. It's classic. Where's the beef? When Jesus returns, he's going to be looking for the beef. Those who have his spirit, the oil is in your lamp. That means you know him. And if it's not in your lamp, it means you don't know him. So in light of the warning of this parable, I want to look at three vital signs of those who are in the wise virgin category. Those wise virgins got in. The Bible says that when the groom came, they went in through the door. They got in. Five didn't get in. So what did those five wise ones do? What did they know? What had they experienced that the five unwise, foolish virgins did not? I want to share with you five vital signs, or three vital signs, of genuine spiritual life, evidences that you have been truly saved and the oil is in the lamp. They're all found in 1 John 5, all of them. Now, the first vital sign is you must be born again. You say, Jeff, come on, this is elementary. You know what I have found? People miss elementary stuff all the time. Can I just tell you, these five foolish virgins missed the elementary stuff. So you got to be born again. Now, walk with me through this. Think with me. John mentions this miracle in 1 John 5, verse 1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born twice. Born again. Born of flesh and then born of the Spirit. You've had a spiritual experience that has caused you to be born two times. One time in the flesh and another time in the Spirit. In verse 4, he says it again. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That means God's your daddy. You know, you heard that phrase, who's your daddy? That's really going to matter when you get to the judgment seat. Who's your daddy? Because when you've been born twice, God is literally your father. That's why we look up once we've been saved and we say, Abba, Father. Who's your daddy? One time a religious teacher named Nicodemus sought Jesus out in the dark of night to converse with him. And twice in their conversation, Jesus went right past what Nicodemus asked him. And he went right to the core and the crux of the issue that mattered to Nicodemus. He said, with all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this. Unless you are born again, you can never. Everybody say never. You can never, never, never get into the kingdom of God. These five foolish virgins went trying to find oil in their lamps a day late and a dollar short. And they tried to get in, but the door was shut. The door was shut. Reminds me of Noah and the ark. It says God shut the door. There comes a time when in the Old Testament the door was shut. In the New Testament the door is shut. In the future the door is going to shut. And they went around frantically trying to find oil, but it was too late. See, the reason we've got to be born twice is because the Bible says the first time we're born, we are born into sin. We are dead in trespasses and sins. It says we are dead in trespasses and sins. The minute that we are born, we have a living body, but our spirit is dead. It's dead because of trespass. You say, well, baby hadn't sinned yet. No, but we got Adam's sin. Thank you, Adam. I'm looking forward to meeting you up there and having a talk. Because I got imputed to me Adam's sin. So it doesn't matter if I have time to go lie, steal, or whatever as an older kid. I am born in sin, David said, and shaped in iniquity. So born dead. The first time you're born dead. Born once, you're dead. Born twice, you're alive. Born once, you're lost. Born twice, you're found. Born once, you're hellbound. Born twice, you're heavenbound. Born once, you're blind. Born twice, you see. He says in Ephesians, emphatically, we are dead in trespasses and sins, so something's got to be done to make us alive, or we're going to die in our trespasses and sins. If there was a medical device that could monitor spiritual life, like a heart monitor in hospitals, but we had a device that could monitor the evidence or the existence of spiritual life, that device would flatline every time it measured somebody that hadn't been born again. You know, folks, you can dress up a corpse. in the finest clothes, but it's still a corpse. In the same way, you can dress up a dead soul with good deeds and religious activity, have your lamp out there all day long. But the only thing you can do with a corpse that will do anything to help it is give it life. You got to give it life like Jesus did. Lazarus come out of that tomb, and he that had been dead 4 days came out. Jesus gives life to the dead. Now listen to what the Bible says. We need life. Everybody say, we need life. Without the life of God, and that's the oil in the lamp. Without the life of God, we're dead. And that is what being born again brings to us. You literally receive the life of God by the entrance of the Holy Spirit into your soul. Listen to this verse. Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. Made us alive together with Christ. So listen to the word. We were dead. He made us alive. We were dead. He made us alive. The five wise virgins had been dead, but they were made alive. That's why there was oil in their lamp. The five foolish thought they were alive, but they weren't, because they never looked to Jesus to save them and wash away their sins. And so they did not have the Holy Spirit inside of them. So they still were dead and they couldn't get in. The Bible reveals, can I just be honest, that a truly born again person will show it, will show evidences of it. You know, if you got something that comes from death to life, you're going to have some evidence. Lazarus came walking out of that tomb, wrapped in grave clothes, but he was walking, talking, looking, moving. He had life. A truly born-again person will show evidences of it. Their nature will change. Their likes and dislikes will gradually be transformed. Things you used to love, you'll hate. Things you used to hate, you love. I used to think, could there be anything more boring than opening up that black, ominous-looking book and reading it? Thee, thou, wouldest, shouldest, couldest. I couldn't make any sense of it. The couple of times I saw one. But now, what I used to hate, I love. I love my Bible. I love the things of God. I hate the things of evil. My nature has changed. The Bible says that if you're truly got oil in your lamp, if you've truly been saved, your lifestyle will change. Sinful practices and habits will begin to disappear, some immediately and some over time, but there is always discernible change. Your motivations and desires will change because God gets a hold of your heart. And when he gets a hold of your heart, he changes your want to, your motivations, your desires, your longings, the things you care about and don't care about anymore. The direction of your life will turn. Whether it's a radical dynamic change, as with a person who has been deep in sin that dramatically turns to Christ, which is kind of my story, or a gradual, more quiet change, there will always be distinct, recognizable evidences to somebody that's truly saved. Somebody that says they're saved, but they're still living in sin, still out there in the world, and you can't tell any difference between the way they are and the way they were, I don't know. But when somebody says, I'm saved, I expect to see change. When I told my family I was saved, there's members of my family still can't figure out what happened to me. At first, they chalked it up to, well, he just went from drugs to a radical religious trip. But that was like 45 years ago, 50 years ago. No, I didn't change me. He changed me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And grace has brought me thus far, and grace will take me home. I'm a product of grace. I say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I didn't have a New Year's resolution. I didn't go through rehabilitation. I went through a transformation when Jesus came into my heart. I was as surprised as anybody else. Paul wrote, when somebody becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. He is not the same anymore. I'm going to say it one more time. He's not the same anymore. He's a brand new person. Not perfect, but redeemed. So the first vital sign of genuine salvation begins with being born again. A second vital sign is you will make a clear confession of Jesus as Lord. 1 John 5:1, everybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now, this statement from John could not make it more clear that there is something that happens with the confession of a person, the words of a person, something that a person has come to believe that has been truly born again. The person who has truly been born again will be characterized by ongoing faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and they will confess it openly. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, some say you're Elijah, some say that you're Isaiah or some other prophet. They say this and they say that, but Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And we know what Peter did. Peter belted out the confession of every born-again person. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was blessed. Jesus did a little dance. And he said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but that came from my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church." He was not saying that on the rock of Simon Peter the church would be built, but on the revelation that Simon uttered, he would build his church. And the revelation that he uttered is, "You are the Christ, not a Christ, not one of many, but the Christ, the Son of the living God." Right then and there, Peter was showing, "I'm saved." Now, let me clarify. This is not the same thing at all as saying, "Well, I believe Jesus was a great man." People will tell you that these days. "Oh, yeah, you're a Christian? Oh, that's great. I think Jesus was a great man." Right then I go, "Eh." "Oh, I believe he was a great teacher or a very inspirational person. Oh, he was so inspirational. He said so many good things." Or one of several great religious leaders in world history. I had somebody tell me recently, "Oh, yeah, he's right up there with Buddha, and he's right up there with Muhammad, he's right up there with all these other leaders." And I said, "No, he's not. He's not right up there with them." I said, "They're way below him." I said, "He is in his own stratosphere. There is nobody who occupies the space that Jesus does, because he was the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's the confession of somebody who's truly born again, has oil in the lamp. It's a big dead giveaway when they say, "Well, yeah, great man, great teacher, great inspirational person, great religious leader." That immediately says to me, "No oil." The genuinely born again person will emphatically state from their heart, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one and only Son of God. No one like him. He's begotten of God, virgin born, came once as our Savior, comes again as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of Judah. He is the one and only Son of the living God. He had no earthly daddy. His daddy was God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that holy thing that was conceived in her came from the Holy Ghost." Amen. Paul the Apostle said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So, the person who's really born again, really has the oil in the lamp, they say, "Oh, no, no. He was the one and only. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the third vital sign, the last one I want to talk about, is that a person who has truly been born again, get ready, I don't expect you to jump up and shout and shout me down and amen me on this one, but the one that's truly born again will keep his commandments. John writes, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Notice how he associates and connects loving God with keeping his commandments. "For this is the love of God," he goes on, "that we keep his commandments." This is what it is to be in love with God through Jesus Christ. We keep his commandments. Now look at the zinger at the end. "And his commandments are not burdensome." For the genuinely born-again person, the Lord's commandments are not a hassle. They're not a burden. I wish the Lord hadn't said that. You know, do I really have to do that? Now, I got to admit to you, sometimes with forgiving some folks, I go through that. Some folks, I don't want to forgive them at first. But then I listen to the words of Jesus, and I go, you know what? This is what Jesus said. Forgive one another as I've forgiven you, and I know that if I love him, I've got to keep his commandments. And so I say, okay, I keep his commandments. I do it. See, when you're really born again, you want to please the Lord. You don't want to please yourself anymore. You want to please the Lord. Paul told the church, learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. That's a part of spiritual growth. You learn as you go along what pleases the Lord because you want to please the Lord. So when he says, I want you to pray, I want you to die to yourself, I want you to pick up your cross daily and follow me, I want you to walk down that narrow road that leads to life, I want you to stand up for me, let your light shine. The commandments of the Lord that are wrapped up in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that when we hear them, we don't always like them, but something inside the born-again child of God says, I want to keep his commandments. John is not talking about never failing or never sinning, because he says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father who is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, but he is saying that the true child of God's lifestyle will generally be in keeping with what Jesus taught. They will want to bring their lives into the orbit of Jesus' teachings and submit to what he said. If we love him through Jesus, if we've got oil in the lamp, we have a new nature. And we want to please the Lord. Amen? So that when we sin, we go, oh no, I hurt the Lord. I've grieved the Holy Spirit. And you can't sleep good. You can't eat good. You're bothered. Your conscience is bugging you. That's the evidence of a child of God. Somebody comes down to me and says, Pastor, I think I committed the unpardonable sin. I said, are you worried about it? I said, oh, I'm terrified. Then you're okay. Because if you were really apostate and out there and didn't know the Lord, you'd be sinning all the time and wouldn't give a hoot. But when you're truly saved, oh, you're concerned about what the Lord thinks. Am I pleasing him? Am I coming into line with his teaching? So this parable ends with the five foolish virgins frantically trying to find their own oil, but it's too late once the bridegroom comes. Jesus said the door was shut. So the message of the parable is, do you have oil in your lamp? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Can you tell? Has there been evidence? Have you changed? Or are you in church with a lamp, but no oil? It's really a parable about the danger of religion versus relationship. Religion says, do this, do that, and you're in. Christianity says, he did this, did that, done, done, done. Religion says, do, do, do. Jesus says, done, done, done. I did it for you. Now, I didn't preach this to make you insecure or to freak you out. I can see some of you going, oh, man, have I got oil in the lamp? You know what? John also said that you may know that you have eternal life. This is not a hope so, maybe so, perhaps so faith. It's a no-so faith.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
So every one of us is going to give an answer. We will go before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're not going to be judged for our sin because our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But what the judgment seat of Christ is a place of rewards. How did we take the gift?
That's next in a brand new message we're calling Ready in Your Works, in this series entitled Ever Ready. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.